Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, the only night shift sports radio host with less hair on his legs than a 12-year-old girl, it's Jay Binkley.
Don't forget I fill in for rain delays as well. Night shows and rain delays. Jay Binkley, Bink at Night. We've had a long week, man. It's been a fun week. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, ArrowheadPride.com, joins me live in studio as he's done every day this week and quite a bit. Thanks a lot, Rocco.
What's going on?
My man Rocco's here. I made a deal.
What's his nickname?
He got my energy drinks.
What's his nickname again?
I can no longer call him the Bagel Boss.
You said specifically you cannot, under any circumstances, call him the Bagel Boss anymore.
And I don't know half the people know what we're talking about, but just Google it or go to Twitter and look up Bagel Boss.
It's an exclusive deal only to Bink, though, so Pete, feel free.
I think a lot of people don't know what I'm talking about.
Pete Sweeney, Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez, the Bagel Boss. It should be a good night.
Fun show.
You never said Pete couldn't say it.
I'm saying. Technicalities.
Oh, man, we got a lot of fun today. Bubba Starling called up to the majors. We've been waiting for this, and this means something to me as a guy that no one does, Pete. And, you know, I always tease you about the whole Whit Merrifield thing, the Holmes thing, although I happen to be a fan of those guys well before they were members of the Royals or the Chiefs. So just put that out there.
Yep.
Bubba Starling, here's a guy, 2010 Simone Trophy winner. I like high school football, love high school football, been covering high school football forever. As a matter of fact, I'm so old, I covered Ron the Show Hughley in a state title game when he played.
That's right.
He would get garbage time. Garbage time Hughley.
Garbage Hughley. This is a nickname show right now. Garbage Hughley. Who's the next one?
The Trash Man.
Ron the Trash Man
Oscar
Hughley.
The Grouch.
Jason Katz.
Who's the guy that hung, the Muppet that always hung at the trash can? Was that the Oscar the Grouch?
Yeah, Oscar.
Okay. Is that Ron when he's mad?
That's Vern.
Just all the time.
Vern's more mad all the time. All right, so I covered Katz.
Yeah.
Who,
Big Katz.
Former name intern, which I still call him intern, but he works here now. He's full-time. He does Jamie and Wick at middays. And Brandon Kiley, BK, from The Drive. I covered him in high school. Doing games as well.
Still in his high school football shape somehow.
But none of those cats could come and match the talent of a Bubba Starling. They just couldn't. Matter of fact, there's only one high school football player that I've seen in Kansas City that is better than Bubba Starling. High school, I've seen a lot of good players. A lot of good players. You know, Blue Springs has had a ton. You know, you think about all these cats, the player Evan Baim, an outstanding football player, at least from the West, that, of course, is in the National Football League, Braden Smith. The guard that was taken the second round for the Colts. There's a lot of talent that's come out of here.
E.J. Gaines out of Fort Osage, too.
E.J. Gaines.
He was dynamic.
He was a quarterback.
Running back and a corner, yeah.
He did everything. But Bubba Starling was special. Bubba Starling was real special. And he won the Simone Trophy. Didn't win a state title because I don't think he had the passing game that he needed. But he's a one-man show. He would take the ball and go 80. Every time I did a game, he would take the first snap, go 80 yards, and be gone.
Are you in this camp knowing
what
you know
about
him?
And I know he's playing baseball, not football.
Yeah, are you in this camp? Do you think that in an alternate life he wishes he would have went that route? Do you think he regrets? And I know it's probably probably not today of all days.
I'm sure there's been times that he wanted to be Brandon Whedon or thought about the path that these guys went.
Right.
You know, the football and then baseball. Don't know if he was – I don't know if he still has the arm, you know, because he's more of a runner.
Yeah.
But obviously when you get 26 years old, you don't have the same speed you did at that time. But the one thing about Bubba is, I always liked this guy's competitiveness, and I like how he played. Now, he never had that advantage of, like, Moose, you know, playing in California. He played even though Moose did play football, but you could play baseball year-round.
Right.
Or Hosmer down in South Florida, but you can just play baseball year-round. Bubba played it all. And sometimes coaches don't recommend players play it all. Because I remember talking to Gary Pink, who joins me in the fall, and I said, what do you prefer your quarterbacks doing? Because he's had a quarterback that was a state champion wrestler. Heavyweight state champion wrestler, because you know in high school it's like 220 and above.
Yeah, it's big.
And Evan Baim won state titles as a heavyweight, his junior year. His senior year was beaten by Trent Hosek, who was a quarterback at Staley, who went to Missouri, and he's transferred, you know, since then. But he beat Bame his senior year, and he was a quarterback there. And I asked him about that, you know, the whole philosophy of, you know, players playing other sports. Because, a lot of times football coaches, they like a guy playing basketball because it shows your flexibility.
I think the more sports you can play, I think we've realized now, the better, you know, when you're growing up.
But with quarterbacks, it's different. With quarterbacks, they kind of want you to hone in on that skill.
Mahomes played baseball for quite a while before he finally gave it up.
He did.
But you know, Clayton, I mean, I know that's just one example, but.
Well, Clayton Kershaw was the high school center for Matt Stafford. Did you know that nugget? In the Dallas-Fort Worth area, his center. You rarely see an elite arm like that play on the offensive line. What a tandem, a battery that was, Stafford and Clayton Kershaw, a very rich one, too, so to speak. But Bubba Starling was good at baseball, good at basketball, could do anything. He was strong, powerful. I think he hit over 480 a senior year playing baseball. And when it's on the clock, the Royals, they had no option. I've always said that with Bubba Starling. They had no option. Now, if Bubba Starling grew up in Seattle, or if he grew up in St. Louis, or if he grew up in New York, if he grew up anywhere else,
right.
I don't know if the Royals make that selection number 5 overall. Now, when you think about Albert Pujols that, you know, played Fort Osage, played at Maple Woods Community College here in Kansas City, surefire Hall of Famer, one of the best baseball players in the history of the game, but everybody passed on him. Everybody passed on him. The Cardinals finally got him. But you want to be the team that doesn't get Bubba. What if Bubba goes to Minnesota? What if Bubba would have ended up in Detroit? What if Bubba would end up in Cleveland? What if Bubba would end up with the White Sox, these teams you play 19 times a year? Now, it took Bubba a while. It took Bubba a while, and it's a journey. And I heard Joe and Vern talk about it. And there's a reason to be excited. And he's not a world saver, Bubba Starling, coming up here. Don't want to put that pressure on. The pressure will be there for Bubba Starling because he's playing in his hometown. He's playing in Kansas City, and his name's Bubba. They're going to like him. When Bubba played high school football in this town, people knew his names. He was, you know, leading the sports page. Everybody would talk about the great Bubba. The guy was a fantastic high school football player. Unbelievable. That's what people mostly knew him for, was football. Because high school basketball and high school baseball just doesn't get the run that high school football does in this town.
Right, and now it'll be his job to sort of make you forget some of those days. Like, he chose to do this baseball thing. He's finally up. I think he'll be a center of attention this weekend as we're still not into football. I wonder how much juice this gives, like, the Royals on an otherwise meaningless season here, right? I mean, so how interested are people going to be, and for how long? Is it 3 days, the weekend? Is it maybe a week or two before, okay, it's just, you know, we're waiting to the end of this and going to try again next year?
Yeah, but, you know, people knew this guy in town. There will be pressure on him because he's playing in his hometown. Bubba sent this on Instagram. People were retweeting it, a picture of him when he was a kid wearing Royals stuff, talking about he couldn't wait for this day to come. I'm happy for Bubba Starling because, you know, the journey, the trials and tribulations. I mean, this guy's the number one pick, and he's finally getting to the major leagues. Usually top 5 picks make it there long before Bubba. And I remember at FanFest back in 2018. This was Bubba, not this past FanFest, but the FanFest before. I mean, he sat there and watched the Royals. He was drafted in 2011. He sees them go to back-to-back World Series in 14 and 15. He wasn't ready to sniff the major leagues, and he's watching his hometown team. I'm sure he's a Mahomes fan. I'm sure he's just a Kansas City sports fan. This was Bubba Starling at FanFest 2 years ago.
Oh, it was tough the first month. I was ready to give it up, and with the good support I had, I just kept working hard. I remember sitting in up in Omaha. I was in the batting cage, and I was sitting there, and I called my parents, and this was at their just a horrendous stretch. I think I was hitting like .117, X amount of strikeouts, and I remember sitting there bawling after a game, like, I cannot do this. It just keeps snowballing each day. And that's when things kind of start turning around. Like 2 days later, I remember switching my hands or something with Tommy Gregg, and it just, things started clicking kind of. I know it's in there for me, and that's why I'm still working hard at it. If I didn't think I could make it to the major leagues, I'd have been done with it. Not only I want to do it for me, I want to do it for my family and all the support I have around Kansas City with friends and everything.
And Kansas City's always supported Bubba. There you go. He almost walked away from the game at a batting cage, calls his parents. I'm sure this story is a story that many players can tell in Major League Baseball. I've talked to guys in the clubhouse, you know, battling around to the minor leagues. You have to make the decision. Some guys make the decision. They're out there selling insurance at this point. They realize the major league dream is not their dream. We just saw Cody Deckard retire. They got a cup of coffee with the Royals and the Padres, like 32 years old. He's the all-time minor league home champion, married to Jen Sturger, by the way.
Right. I mean,
and he just walks away from the game. He's a bit of a career minor leaguer. It's not meant for everybody to get here, but the fact that he's here, the fact that he grew up in this town, and again, I don't think the Royals had a choice but to not take Bubba Starling. I think that because he grew up here, they had to make that selection.
And I think you got to see what you got here. And to his credit, too, he's only 26. I mean, you know, you're mentioning these guys who are lifelong minor leaguers. Like, there's still time for him to do some damage and make a name.
We kept having setbacks with injuries.
Of course. I'm intrigued to seeing, can he stick in the majors? Because he's gone through a ton of adversity. From what I've read, the Royals don't have an option now to send him back to the minors, so he's here for good until they feel like he can't be a major leaguer.
He's
so
gonna make it.
He's gonna have an opportunity. It's a late season storyline, like I said, in an otherwise meaningless season.
The worst thing he could do is play bad, get picked up by the White Sox or the Twins, and start raking from David Holtzman, who does the stats on Fox. Selected over 8 years ago. Should he make his MLB tomorrow, which we all expect he will, be 26 years old, 343 days. Whit Merrifield made his major league debut at 27 years old.
Right.
And 27 years and 115 days, but is much different because he wasn't a first-round pick. And I'm interested, it becomes the 20th player that grew up in the Kansas City area to play for the Kansas City Royals. The 20th player to go there. Will they get an attendance bump? Sure. I think they will. I think this is different
maybe
than Nicky
slightly.
Lopez. I think it could be a little bit more than slightly. I know this, you know, the Gardner Edgerton area. They'll all be out there. And so many people in this town have high school stories of seeing Bubba. You know, they played against Bubba in football or basketball or baseball. There's so many people here that have played against Bubba. There's so many in this town that have heard of Bubba Starling and have followed his career, have gone to the minor league games to see this kid play. Will he feel pressure in his hometown? Yes, he will. But I feel good for this cat. I'm telling you, this guy's a good guy. He's a humble guy. You know, I remember when he won the Simone Trophy. I was there that day. Just a humble, humble guy that was an incredible athlete. And he had his own battles, whether he's going to get here or not. He finally did it. And I say congratulations, Bubba Starling.
And I think there's something to be said, too, about the stamina to get up here. I mean, you mentioned all the things that he's gone through. He's probably going to fail at this level, too. And I think sometimes it's a matter of getting out of whatever funk maybe you potentially start with. Hopefully he gets off to a hot start. I think that's what everybody wants. But again, the fact that he's gone through that adversity before leads you to believe, okay, he can maybe handle it and make a name for himself at the next level.
What if he has a Pete Alonso-type start?
That'd be nice.
Well, he does have the pace. He's a great defensively.
That would be nice.
Dayton Moore said for years, that Bubba has the defensive talent. He's been good enough defensively. And you know you have to be good defensively to play for this team. That's one thing the Royals do care about is defense. Jeff Flanagan spoke to Dayton Moore on Starling's promotion, said this is a celebration for what he's earned, and he's coming here to play, not sit on the bench.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I think you give him the rest of the year, and you figure out what you have, right? Like, that's why he's up now.
See what you got? He's going to get his chance. And speaking of, Ron Hughley just texted me.
What did he say?
The show. He said that Brandon Lloyd was the best
The dumpster Hughley. Ron the Dumpster Hughley, remember we call him?
It was garbage time.
Trash man.
Garbage time, Ron.
I like the trash man.
He's not going to like any of this.
Ron the Grouch.
He's not the Grouch. No, Vern's the Grouch. Vern's very nice.
I'm surprised he didn't walk Vern's up like to the Big press Bird. Box and say, call me Shell. I'm surprised he didn't do this when he was in high school. Because I would have.
When did he earn the nickname Shell? Wasn't
a long
just,
time ago.
Wasn't that just here?
No, I think he's been called that a long time.
No,
I think it was before here.
Earlier, somebody came in, and he didn't know. He didn't know Ron's full name, but he knew him by the show, and Ron was hyped. And, like, he should be, because, like, that's his identity, and that's cool.
Well, Rocco goes around this building. Rocco's new.
Ron is to the show, and he calls as Rocco is Mr. to Bagel Boss.
He calls me Mr. Binkley, Mr. Sweeney, Mr. Spade. He uses the word Mr., and I say, you call him Mr. Show? I mean,
you know, I just call him Show, okay. Honestly. But it's a respect thing, and I have mad respect for Show, but, like, I listen to him all the time, so I feel like I know him as Show, you know?
Well Brandon Lloyd was special, and I would put Brandon Lloyd in that top five category. Same with Lavelle Betts, Blue Springs guys. But there was nothing like Bubba. But Darren Sproles, no one touches Darren Sproles. Matter of fact, he'll probably go down as the best player ever to come out of the Kansas City area. You look at his numbers, he's fringe Hall of Famer.
How do you anticipate
because of Bubba, all purpose yards.
How do you anticipate Bubba does?
I'm anticipating.
You're talking like he's about to hit 500.
No, I'm not talking about what he's going to do.
What do you,
I'm not talking about what he's going to do. You think
he'll by the end of the season be hitting, what, 250?
He's got around an 800 OPS 70? Down in AAA. Not great. You know, if he comes up here, hits 240, 250, a couple of dingers, stuff like that. I mean, I don't
something
know.
Something to build upon.
I think I may, you know, be in line with Vern saying 2022, do you consider him a starter on this team? It is a late blossomer, a late bloomer. It's hard to say, but plenty more Bubba talk. Coming up next, his high school football coach, Marvin Diener, six state titles. He has a lot to say about Bubba Starling, including some comparisons to Terrence Newman, who he also coached before as well. Marvin Diener next. And welcome back to Big at Night. Jay Binkley, Pete Sweeney, Editor-in-Chief, ArrowheadPride.com. We're talking about Bubba Starling making his way to Kansas City. And I can't wait for this local guy playing for the Royals. And joining us now, one of my favorite coaches to cover back when he covered high school football, came from Salina Central, then was at Gardner-Edgerton with Bubba. By the way, he holds six state championships, and he's got three runner-ups as well. Coach Marvin Diener. Coach, good evening.
Hello, Jay. It's good to be back on the air.
Well, it's good to talk to you, Coach. What were you thinking when you heard Bubba's making it to the major leagues?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, he's had such an unbelievable season this year at AAA that we knew this was coming up. And, you know, I was really hoping he'd make it up in June. But then when he was named for the All-Star game last night, I had told a number of my friends around here, I sure hope that if they don't send him back to Omaha, he ought to just stop in Kansas City on his way back from the All-Star game. And that's exactly what has happened. And we are absolutely thrilled, and I can't wait for tomorrow night.
Well, I tell you what, Coach, you know, we were talking about, you know, back in the high school days, I covered a lot of his games. I covered a lot of times you were coaching him. You had some really good teams, of course, with Bubba Starling. And I remember talking to you one time, and it was after a game, because you've coached some other great ones, like Terrence Terrence down at Salina Central, and you had Jake Sharp. You've had a bunch of good players, but you said that he might be faster than Terrence Newman. You told me one night that as fast as Terrence Newman is, Bubba Starling might be faster.
It really was true, and particularly at that time. The thing that was great about Terrence is that Terrence continued to develop all the way through college and even in the pros, and Bubba the same. I'm telling you right now, Bubba, as a 27-year-old, is a full-grown man right now. And what the Royals are about to see is going to be something extremely special. Athletically, he is absolutely in prime. And the thing that I can't wait for, because I've seen him do it, and there's been very few people that have seen him do it, I'm waiting for the first time he hits it into the gap and rounds first and second on his way to third. I'm telling you. The way he will gobble up the ground around the bases is going to be something really special. I can't wait to see it in Royal Stadium.
You know, you read any articles from back in those days, and you see a lot of comments from yourself talking about his leadership ability. What do you remember when it came to those intangibles that Bubba brought to the game?
Well, the one thing that was great about Bubba is that, you know, as a kid, particularly in baseball, he played up all the time. I mean, he played with kids that were 2 and 3 and 4 years older than him for years and years. But when he was in high school, I mean, he loved playing with his friends, with his classmates. And that was an incredibly special group of guys, the entire group. And, you know, Bubba could have been the star that was above them and all that. He wasn't. He was one of the guys and was always a treat to be around and coach and a tremendous competitor. And he had a lot of good help around him those years, too.
Was there ever a time, Coach, because you coached him in football, and you know he's played basketball extremely well and baseball, and, he had that offer to go to Nebraska and play football. Was there ever any, you know, going back and forth in his mind if he should play football or baseball, or was always going to be baseball, and did the Royals kind of force his hand picking him fifth?
Well, I mean, no question that – That was a big decision. And the one thing that you did leave out is that Notre Dame was also recruited Bubba. I was fortunate enough to go on that recruiting trip, which was actually Brian Kelly's very first year at Notre Dame. And in that very same locker room that you see all the Rudy stuff in, they had Bubba's jersey, number 16, in there. And that really shows you Bubba's love for baseball, even though I know that there was a consideration there. I really don't think there was ever a doubt in his mind that baseball was the thing that it was the sport that he really, truly grew up loving. Now, he was unbelievable in the other sports, and I will tell you, there's not near enough said about his ability on the basketball floor. I have never seen dunks on those Tuesday and Friday nights like what we saw. Those were dunks that you see in the NBA and what you see on Saturdays in Big 12 games, because, I mean, he lived above the rim. His athleticism, I think, on the basketball court even outshined anything that he ever done. But it was one of the things that people just didn't talk about. But he was truly a remarkable three-sport athlete.
Coach, you've seen a lot of football. You've coached a lot of football. You've won a lot of titles. You're one of the most successful coaches ever in the state of Kansas. Who do you think the best player ever coming out of the Kansas City area has been?
Well, I believe Bubba. In regards to his, you know, and you know, he's got competition with Sproles and those kinds of things. When you talk true athletic ability, it was amazing. And one thing is that this kid could throw the football, and he did it on his knees, both knees, not just one knee, threw the ball 70 yards off both knees. And his arm strength is unbelievable. And you wait till the first time that he picks up the baseball at the base of the center field wall and needs to get the thing to home plate. It'll be a special kind of thing that you'll see the arm that this kid had. And obviously he threw in, you know, the mid-90s as a high school pitcher. He really is the total package. You know, and the thing I want people to really realize is, I mean, is how determined he was to run this course. And, you know, you never, ever heard an excuse from Bubba at all. And, you know, and he went through some extremely difficult times with particularly oblique injuries, which are as difficult to get over as you can, and hampering. And you just never, people knew that he had been hurt, but it was never a headline because Bubba didn't make it a headline. He's healthy now. I just think that we are really in for a treat for these next years, not just for these next few weeks, for the next years.
Given your relationship with him and what Bubba has meant to the state of Kansas, in your estimation, what will this weekend mean to everybody involved?
Well, for me, it's going to be one of the most – I just can't wait for tomorrow night. It's going to be one of the most enjoyable moments that I will have ever, you know, ever had. And because it was truly earned. This is an opportunity for Bubba that is so deserved because of the things that he has fought through to make this opportunity happen. And you know, I know there's going to be pressure on the kid and all that kind of thing. I think that he is truly ready for it. And I'm excited in regards to how the whole community has rallied and backed it up. And I'm telling you, with a name like Bubba Starr, I mean, how can people not be out there buying jerseys already? And he could really add an incredible spark to the whole program. And, you know, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, even though I'm very, you know, I can do that really easy.
Yeah.
But I just wish the kid so much luck, and he truly deserves it. And I'm just telling you guys, we're in for a treat. We are in for an unbelievable treat.
Well, I can't wait, Coach. It's fun. After watching Bubba in high school and you as his coach, I never forget some of those times after the games talking to you just about what I saw on the football field. It was incredible. Coach, you're a legend. You've done well.
I have to tell you this real quick before I get off. You know, I did hear early in the segment where you talked about how quickly he would score those touchdowns.
Oh.
It was a running joke among my coaching staff, and they actually did it. They would bet Coca-Cola's on how many plays it would take for him to score the first score. And generally speaking, they never went more than one or two or three plays.
Every time they did a game, it was first one.
One quite a few times. He was truly a star, and I really had to chuckle to myself when he said that because my coaching staff was, and they never let me in on the gig. I had no, but when he would score, one would be getting high fives because he's the one that had won the coach.
I'll never forget. It was a semifinal game, I think, against Blue Valley. The very first place to play the game, he went like 80
absolutely.
Yards. He ended up running for well over 300 yards in that game. It was crazy.
It really was.
All right, Coach Diener, good to talk to you, man. Good luck. Good luck with yourself, and say hi.
And the luck right now needs to go to Buckles. Good luck for the start.
There you go. See you, Coach.
You bet. Thank you.
There you go. Coach Marvin Diener right there. And this guy was a pleasure to cover.
Do you think he loves Bubba or what?
Oh, he does. He's proud. He's proud. Even though it's a different sport, proud. But this is Terrence Newman's coach. This guy coached Terrence Newman.
I know.
Listen to this. 19 years coaches at Salina Central. Check this out. Before he got to Gardner. 170-42, 17 winning seasons out of 19, 11 league championships, 16 playoff appearances, state runner-up three times, 6 5A championships, only the sixth coach in state history to win at least 6 state championships, and the only one to win 6 at the 5A level. I mean, it's one of the best high school football coaches ever in the state of Kansas. Guys knows what he's doing, and here's Bubba. You can tell how proud Coach was.
I'm sure he knows his ball, too.
He's retired.
And this is
my
first experience speaking with him, but you can just tell how much he cares about his kids, just the way he was talking about Bubba, who played years and years and years ago. Pretty cool.
That's the way many coaches are. And, Sproles, I'm telling you, though, Sproles is 6 all-time in total yards. People don't realize that, but Darren Sproles, 6 all-time. Now, you can't say best in Kansas, the state, because Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders came out of the state of Kansas. And John Riggins. But, you know, Bubba's up there. Bubba's up there as one of the best athletes we've ever seen in the state of Kansas. It was great. The franchise for the Chiefs. Brett Veach said something extremely interesting yesterday, Pete. I went and cut it, and I want you to hear it.
All right.
Very, very interesting. We'll talk about that next. Band of Protein House, Eat with a Purpose text line, live at this high school football discussion. Everybody's got their guy, Jay Binkley, Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. People mentioned David Cone. Rockers didn't have a baseball program when David Cone was there. He played in other leagues, but then clearly David Cone, one of the best players ever to come out here. But Darren Sproles, to me, keep in mind, Darren Sproles is the best football player I've ever seen. The guy was unbelievable.
Talking in high school.
Oh, in high school.
Yeah.
In high school. But still, I mean, the guy in the NFL has made a great career. 6 all-time in yardage.
Yeah.
I mean, Darren Sproles, the ultimate weapon. I mean, it's unbelievable.
He's the king.
You know, Drew Locke was pretty darn good, too. Drew Locke was pretty good at least. His arm, throwing the football.
I mean, listen, he's a Denver Bronco now, Bink. You gotta let him go.
Yeah, I'm just saying. There's been some talent. There's more and more talent out of here. Ronnie Bell, that won the Simone Trophy at Park Hill 2 years ago. He's up at Michigan catching touchdowns already. Graham Mertz, one of the highest recruited quarterbacks in the nation. Right down here at Blue Valley North, he's headed to Wisconsin. So there's some blue chip type talent coming.
Got to keep that talent. Got to keep that talent around.
Got to keep the talent. Jafar Armstrong down there at Notre Dame. I mean, there's some talent.
Keep that talent. Kansas and Missouri.
They're not, too. That's the thing. Everybody's going to other places, and not K-State, Kansas, or Missouri. So it has been a little bit of a problem. So I'm watching the franchise last night. The Chiefs show. This is the franchise. The Chiefs play it on Fox Sports Midwest. 6 o'clock every
YouTube, Facebook. Every other Wednesday at 6. Great show. They do a good job with it.
Well, I don't know why my DVR didn't catch it. It had some other, like, bull riding or something. And I was
You still use the VHS to make?
No, I use a DVR, Pete.
Okay.
So I ended up watching it on YouTube.
Obviously don't know how to set it.
I said it right. I went home.
I put my DVR on, and I had the franchise. So
you know what? It
that's what we call it, good old-fashioned user error.
It said
but I digress.
Franchise, Pete.
Okay.
It's not my fault.
Okay.
Chill out.
I'm just telling you.
That's a machine mistake, not me.
I don't know about that.
Anyway, Brett Veach, so I came to work and cut this audio because obviously I didn't have it because I just I screwed up. but this is Veach in the car ride. I'll play more of it later. But I thought this was very interesting from Brett Veach. And you know what? I think this might have been my biggest takeaway from the whole franchise show. It wasn't the Garrett Dieter vignette. Which was Khloe McKenzie last week.
One of his dogs is named Goose, which I like.
Yeah, Dieter looks cool. Dieter looks fun to go drink with, man. I ain't going to lie. Dieter looks like a lot of fun.
Met his girlfriend and now wife.
He slid DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
At Bowling Green,
that
I think.
Dirty sheepdog. Good for him.
Before he even got the banner. He was at Bowling Green. He was a stud at Bowling Green. I told you he was. The guy was a stud there in the Mac.
Hey, who needs a Tinder when you have Twitter?
Yeah, sledding those DMs. That's how it's a lot of athletes have found their way.
How would you know?
What's that?
How would you know?
That's a good question.
Because I've asked them. And when I say a lot, I mean one. Aaron Murray, remember his girlfriend Casey McDonald before she went with
Aaron Murray.
Hosmer.
And Hosmer's
the former quarterback for the Chiefs, Aaron Murray.
Yeah.
He's at Georgia. Well, the Chiefs wouldn't let Aaron talk, but we had her talk, and he was with her. And they came in studio, and we had Casey on. He slid in those DMs.
Oh, well, there you go.
You slide.
Everybody's doing
DMs.
It.
That's the new way to do it, Jay. You can do that if you want.
No, no. That's for Rocco.
Rocco. Okay. Yeah.
I'm not a DM slider. Put some respect on my name.
It was Casey.
Which is great. Slide into those DMs, boy.
No. You slide those DMs. I had to tell her I was married at the time. I'm not now, but I had to.
I just got to let you know, though, I am married, Casey.
Oh, that's okay.
I haven't told you that yet, but I am.
Okay. Chain, too, so it's fine.
And I know. So you got to go. Get sidetracked there. I had to let her know. Aaron was sitting right there, too.
What has happened to the. Where was the franchise draft? Okay. How did we get to Casey McDonald?
All right. Here it comes.
I think she went to Philly, right? After this?
No, she went to see. No, she's in New York. Or, excuse me, Boston.
Being
for the
closely ESPN. Following her career.
No, I'm not. Yes, I'm not. No, I'm not. Here was Veach last night. This is what I wanted to talk about.
I remember when we first got here in 2013 and trying to attack free agency and approach players with this plan and this vision we had. But then to come from where we started in 13 to, you know, kind of where we are now, and players are calling us wanting to come here. And I think that's a cool thing for our franchise and our city. So it's just been a cool process to see this thing from where it started to where it is now. It really never stops.
That was one of my favorite things of the whole show, to be honest with you. And I thought it was outstanding. When he said that, think about what he just said there, Pete. They had a vision and a plan trying to get players here in 2013.
Right.
They call now to come to the Chiefs. Don't tell me Mahomes is not a big part of that, but players want to come play here. Now, this is a big deal because the Royals went through this while they overpay people like Gilmesh and stuff to come and play in Kansas City. And all of a sudden, Kansas City looked fun to play. And 14 and 15, they're making the World Series, and players want to play here. But to get players in the NFL when the money's relatively even, how are you going to sell them on coming to Kansas City? I think Arrowheads, I think the Chiefs fans do a great job. Chiefs Nation does a great job. Chiefs Kingdom. But players call him now. That's a big difference, he said, than when he started the plan.
Yeah, and of course he knows he's on TV. But I think to an extent, anytime you have a
This is 4:30 in the morning, Pete.
Every time. Yeah, right. Anytime
That's
you
what the clock said.
No, I know. Anytime you have a franchise quarterback, it's going to be more attractive. So I think for sure, I mean, the Chiefs now are going to be in it every year that they have Patrick Mahomes as long as he's healthy. So if he can keep getting back to the Final Four, if he can get to some Super Bowls, if he can win some Super Bowls, he's going to have that Brady effect where some guys at the end of their career who might still have something left in the tank, like not necessarily the Chiefs style right now. They're a very, very young team. But there probably will be in the future guys who still are, 32, 33, 34, that still have something in the tank that still can play. And they may take a deal to go and play with Mahomes because that could potentially give them the best chance. I don't know if we've seen a ton of the discount quite yet, but I think that's to be seen in the future.
I just thought that it was extremely relevant. I thought that was very interesting. You know, when he's talking about his job, you know, trying to sell people on the plan in the vision.
Well, yeah, you have to recruit when you got.
I mean, obviously, Andy Reid. These players all had a ton of respect for him.
You see it in college football too. I mean, it's how you build a program. It's really hard to get good players to a bad team, and the Chiefs were a bad team in 2012. And then once Reid came, it was the greatest turnaround in franchise history when they brought Reid and Dorsey, and they made the playoffs, and all of a sudden. The Chiefs were a playoff team, so that's one step. And then as you're seeing now, and now they finally got that quarterback, the quarterback of Reed's dreams, and what looks to be a generational player, so that'll only help as people are calling. Like, you wonder how much of a factor that played in with Matthew coming here, because it was reportedly a bidding war between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans, and you wonder how much was on Matthew's mind to say, all right, listen, Mahomes is here. Not that Watson isn't bad, but I think Mahomes, I'd rather play with the MVP of the National Football League and build something. So, again, I think maybe you see the monetary version of that a little bit later down the line once he puts up a few Super Bowls here.
It's every franchise, you need the closer, and you need the salesman. Mm-hmm. I've always thought that. You got to have, especially in the NFL when everything's basically on an even playing field. Now, baseball's different if you're New York and Boston, you throw cash.
Right.
And you've always been able to just throw cash.
Especially in other sports where there's no cash. Like baseball, yeah. That's hard to compete. Cash. If you're a small market team, man, it's hard to compete.
But when there's a cap and you're obviously going to get the same amount of money other places, you need a closer. And for years, I thought the Broncos had one with Elway. Because the Chiefs were interested in Peyton Manning. Clark Hunt even said so on CNBC or something like that. It was a business show that he was on, and they asked him, you know, about Manning, and he said that he'd be interested.
Right.
And then John Elway gets the deal done, you know, because it's John Elway.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. He was the closer. And, you know, and then all of a sudden Manning gets there, which leads to Tlaib and the Marcus Ware and T.J. Ward. It leads to other players, but you got to have that closer. And I look at this as Mahomes is the closer now. He's the closer. He's the guy people want to come play with.
Right, and I think even before that, once Reed turned the franchise around, Andy Reed had a little bit to do with it, but now you kind of have a little bit of everything, especially if the defense can get on board here in 2019 and show out. Then you finally have the quarterback, you have the head coach, you have a defense in place. It's going to be a very, very attractive place to play. And I would say even on a national standpoint, and you don't think it matters, but I think it really does, when you see that the Women's World Cup, which is the hottest thing in sports of the last week, is constantly showing P&L and how fun Kansas City looks, and they're awarded the draft, and now you're seeing more shots of Kansas City and Kansas City-related items on shows like the ESPYs. Like I said, I mean, the city's up and coming, and the football team being good and them having this good of a quarterback is going to make it very attractive.
See, I think even Mahomes does more for the city identity, because Indianapolis became more than just the largest town in America without a navigable waterway. I don't know if you know that, but I've probably told you that before. There's no major rivers or anything or lakes or anything. And Indianapolis was like Kansas City. Just no one talked about Indianapolis. Peyton Manning got there, they talked about it. Green Bay is the smallest market in the NFL. They talked about it with Favre, and they talked about it there in Rodgers. Kansas City has now become relevant on NFL Network, ESPN, and everything else. The Kansas City Chiefs have. This is where every major reporter in the NFL will be in St. Joe at some point this year because of him.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that small town of St. Joe.
The closer.
And I like to think that Kansas City is a little bit more up and coming as a city alone than like a Green Bay, Wisconsin. You know, just in general. But, you know, that being said, of course, if the MVP, the National Football, they follow the MVP. When LeBron James went to Cleveland, guess what? The L.A. reporters, the guys on the coast in New York, they went to Cleveland.
Now they don't even sniff the Cavs. They don't even, you know, even talk about the Cavs. There's no reason to, but he's the closer. And Pat Mahomes means more than just a football player in this town. It's part of the identity. Well, more from that Veach car ride. It's a very small car ride that they showed Veach, but there was something else from the car ride. We'll discuss that next. Welcome back to Bank at Night. Jay Binkley, Pete Sweeney, Editor-in-Chief, ArrowheadPride.com. That's going to be your source for Chiefs information, a lot of information, because Pete's going to go off the grid for a while, and he's going to come back strong. Because guess what? 12 days until the players report, 16 days until fans can watch, 13 days till practice, 30 days till the Bengals game at this point.
Yeah, the plan is once Monday hits, so hopefully shut off all the social media. I'm hoping to wrap up this Hill story sometime soon, at least for a week. And then the next time I'll be on the grid is next Tuesday, when we're up in St. Joe and quarterbacks and rookies arrive. You know, Andy Reid will have his opening statement.
I'm not buying it. Goodell's decision on Tyreek Hill will move the needle.
It's got to come tomorrow.
You cannot stay away from Arrowhead Pride.
I'm doing the double crossed fingers, toes crossed, that everything drops tomorrow, so can rest in peace.
Well, here's more of the car ride with Brett Veach, and he does mention what he talked about, turn it around, but he talks about something else. This is the full audio of Brett Veach's car ride.
It's amazing how fast time goes. It seems like yesterday we were playing the AFC Championship game, and you snap your fingers, and here you are, the start of OTAs. I remember when we first got here in 2013 and trying to attack free agency and approach players with this plan and this vision we had, but then to come from where we started in 13 to, you know, kind of where we are now, and players are calling us wanting to come here, and I think that's a cool thing for our franchise and our city. So it's just been a cool process to see this thing from where it started to where it is now. It really never stops. Well, it's 4:30 in the morning, and I can almost guarantee you I won't be the first person here in the morning. If there's one thing I could certainly bet my life on, is that Coach Reed will be here. I swear the guy says he goes home, but I don't think he goes home. It doesn't matter if it was 4:10, 3:30, 4:15. His car is always the first one here. And I'd like to say I've beat him to the office, but over a decade, I'd probably count on one hand how many times I actually beat him in, because it's near impossible.
That stood out to me, too. Big Red always be, and his clock in his car, which I do believe that was the time, was 4:30 in the morning. And Reed, he can count. He's been with him over a decade, and he can count on his hands how many times he's actually beaten Reed. That means Reed's getting there before 4:30 in the morning.
That's a notorious thing. I mean, even when I was working at the
and this is the off season.
He has a parking spot, and it was always full. I mean, I didn't get in there anywhere close to 4:30 when I was at Chiefs.com.
Of course
before,
you didn't, Pete.
But his car was always there, you know, before ahead of everyone. And anyone on that side of things will tell you, you know, some people think he just sleeps there, especially during the season when he's game planning and so on and so forth. He puts his life and into the game plan, and that requires, I think, in his own mind, just locking in for those 17 weeks or whatever it is.
You know, these coaches put in a lot of time, and keep this in mind too. They don't have to worry about recruiting or anything. They don't have to, Gary Pinkel, that comes on ever since I like talking to him about retirement because he was always putting these 70, 80 hours a week, and I believe it because they did the recruiting process as well. They had to worry about a lot bigger roster and players getting in trouble and you name it, but he didn't have to worry about that now. Gary once said he didn't even hear the cannons that went off before the game in Mizzou. They're very loud. The cannons going. Gary never heard them, and that's impossible because they rattled the press box, and he never heard them. He never saw the leaf changes. So many things he didn't pay attention to, he pays attention to now. Reed, and the fact that he gets there before 4:30 in the morning, and Brett Veach, he beats Brett Veach almost every time. And in 10 years, he's only beaten him a handful of times. It just shows you. These guys talk. Gunther used to say how early he used to get to the office.
Right.
And, you know, coaches take pride in that. But the hours that they put in, and I'm sure he's hard at work thinking about ways to change the offense and everything else. But these guys do put in a lot of work. They just don't just show up and then all of a sudden, you know, there's Pat Mahomes. Just go out and Joe Torre the way he used to do the Yankees, which I don't know when he showed up, but it was a great lineup that anybody could have managed.
And the expectations are there, too. Like, there's a lot of people that are involved with the team on the coaching staff that obviously don't get paid as much as the guys you know. Like, for example, I mean, Reed's assistant. Reed has an assistant very close to him that has to be there at about the same time. And then, you know, when your head coach is there at such an early hour, you feel like you need to be there before the sun rises. I mean, not necessarily at 4 a.m. or whenever the hell Andy Reid is getting there, but you do feel that pressure. All right, I need to get in the building. And if Andy Reid stays late, you probably should be there, especially if you're on the offensive staff.
Think Alex Smith ever beat man?
Possible, because Alex Smith was really passionate too. Alex Smith, I feel like, is a guy, as far as the players go, was like the first one there, first to leave. I just think Andy Reid's a different animal, man. I think he just wants to win so bad that he almost looks like not being there as a non-option, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, it just shows you what these guys, their heart, their soul, everything they got's put into that football team.
Yeah.
When they chase that ring, put it all together. The hunger, the drive. This is the offseason. He's still getting there. I know 4:30 in the morning, a lot of you guys go to work and gals go to work that early and everything, but they don't have to. They don't have to, but they do. There's nobody – Clark Hunt's not saying, Andy, you better get there at 4 a.m. He's not saying that. He's just doing it.
Yeah, and I think he looks at how much he makes too. I mean, I remember there was some kind of incident. I forget what the exchange was, but with a reporter had asked him something to the extent of, like, do you watch the film at practice? And he took offense to it because he's like, well, I'm making all this money. You don't think I watch every single tape? Like, you know, and that's good for him because, you know, he has a lot of pride.
He watches everything, I'm sure.
He's a lot of pride. And I think the thing that I have found, and again, this is just me watching him from as a reporter, you know, for 5 or 6 years now, I think he has such a desire to make the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And that matters a lot to him. And he would never say, I want to make the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but he talks about how his former coaches should have been in it. He talks about how his mentors should be in it. If they're not, we need to get this guy in the Hall of Fame. So to me, you know, that screams, this matters to me. And I think that's something that people who make football their life, they look at it and say, okay, if I can get in here in a way, it allows you to live forever. And I think that there's that kind of thought process with Andy. I think he wants to go down as one of the best coaches in NFL history. And I think about that too, when a lot of people say, if he wins the Super Bowl, you know, maybe he'll retire. Patrick Mahomes is 23. I mean, I could see Reed being the type of guy who's looking over at Bill Belichick and saying, okay, he's got six. if I get two in the next 3 years, you know, adding up the math. And Reed is a little bit younger than Bill Belichick, too. So,
well, he's got a chance. I mean, he's seventh all time in combined wins, regular and postseason. He'll pass Chuck Knoll this year easily. Chuck Knoll, two ahead of him at 209. Chuck Knoll's a great coach. Andy Reid sits at number seven with 207. Curly Lambeau is at number five, 229. That's going to fall. I mean, you got to get up to like 270 to beat Tom Landry. Belichick sits at 289. That's climbing. George Halas at 324. Don Shula at 347. But Andy Reid's climbing. And five NFC title games, one AFC title game, been to a Super Bowl, and he's seventh all-time, will be sixth all-time after probably week two of the season. That's starting to be in there in rear air.
Yeah.
And I think that Mahomes kind of helped his legacy as well. Like, everybody knows Andy Reid is a quarterback whisperer. And taking a guy like Mahomes and all of a sudden the league MVP, that's a huge pelt on the wall for
Mahomes. Is, and I've said this before, too. Mahomes is almost just as lucky for ending up with Reid. If he's in a different...
No question.
Imagine he ends up with a guy like, and I'm not trying to kill anyone here, but like, imagine he ends up with Hugh Jackson in Cleveland or something.
Yeah.
He's not getting the most out of Patrick Mahomes. It's a perfect storm, the perfect marriage of Mahomes and Reid, and it'll be fun to watch and see what they're able to accomplish together.
Big Pete, your dad has texted in for the Protein House. He was the first text line. I'm locking up Pete's computer when he comes home. Are you going home?
One of my best friend from college's wedding is in 2 weekends. Yeah.
Big Pete, you can't lock up his computer. He'll cry. Pete goes to with his computer everywhere. He takes it to the bathroom here at Intercom. He does stories everywhere. He does, literally. He'll go get a sandwich and he'll work. He sits around this office and works for hours before he comes on the air. You will not take Pete's computer away from him because he won't know what to do with himself. That's just fact. Coming up next, something you retweeted today from arrowheadpride.com. If it was you, I don't know if it was you or not, but I find it interesting. The leadership of the honey badger. We discounting it or not? We'll talk about the badger next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.